You may have heard the story of Moses and how he led his people out of slavery in the land of Egypt. But did you know that Moses' special journey began when he was just a baby? His family lived in Egypt, as did many Hebrews. There were so many that Pharaoh was beginning to worry that his kingdom would be overrun by the Hebrews. So Pharaoh ordered that Hebrew midwives kill every boy born to a Hebrew woman. But the midwives knew that the killing of the babies would be very wrong. So they ignored Pharaoh's order and let the boys live. Soon after this, a Hebrew woman gave birth to a son. She was able to hide him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a basket made of reeds, covered it with tar, and put the child in it, and placed it among the reeds at the bank of the river. His sister Miriam stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her maidens walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent a maid to bring it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Miriam approached the Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Shall I go call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes." So Miriam went to get her mother, her mother, also the mother of the baby. Pharaoh's daughter said to the mother, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the mother took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water."
You know the story of Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary and Joseph. He was born in a stable under a special star, and he was visited by wise men and shepherds. But did you know that Jesus was a Jewish boy who went all the way to the great temple in Jerusalem with his parents for the festival of Passover every year? Jesus loved learning about God. When he was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph were ready to start back to Nazareth, but they couldn't find Jesus anywhere. After 3 days of searching for him, they finally found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Mary and Joseph were astonished. They asked Jesus why he had made them worry so much, and he replied, "Well, why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" But Mary and Joseph didn't understand. Jesus went home with them, and he was a good son. His mother knew that there was something very special about Jesus as he increased in wisdom and in years and in favor with God and humanity.
And so Moses came to live in the palace of the Pharaoh, the powerful ruler of Egypt. He had a good life there, was treated like a prince. But he knew that he was not Egyptian. Instead, his people were the Hebrews, who were slaves of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were cruel to the Hebrews, making them do all the hard work and at times beating them. One day, when he was a young man, Moses saw a Hebrew being cruelly beaten by an Egyptian guard. Thinking no one was looking, Moses struck and killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Fearful of what would happen if Pharaoh found out, Moses fled to another country where he lived for many years. While he was in hiding, he married and raised a family. During the time that Moses was in the desert, the suffering of the enslaved Jewish people increased. As Moses was tending sheep one day, he saw a strange sight. A bush was on fire, with flames leaping up from the branches. But the bush did not burn up. When Moses drew nearer to look at this wonder, he heard a voice call from the bush, "Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." As Moses took off his sandals, He realized that his life would never be the same. The voice continued from the bush, "I am God, and I have heard the cries of my people, the Hebrews, in Egypt, and I have seen their suffering. Now, Moses, the time has come for you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." But Moses had no confidence in himself. He said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Why would my people, the Hebrews, ever think I could be their leader?" God replied, "I will be with you." Moses was scared, but he knew what he had to do.
Jesus had a short ministry, only 3 years, really. He told people to love God and to love one another. He taught using stories, like the one about the Good Samaritan that teaches us not to pass by someone who is suffering, even if they are different. They are miraculous stories about Jesus healing the sick and feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread. Jesus challenged the power structures of his day. He said things like, "The first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first." And a rich person had just as much chance of getting into heaven as fitting a camel through the eye of a needle. He challenged authority. He broke rules. Some called him King of the Jews. Others called him the Messiah. In the end, it got him in trouble. Jesus was arrested after celebrating the Passover Seder with his disciples. That Seder is now called the Last Supper in the Christian tradition. He was tried and found guilty of being a revolutionary, mocked and beaten, crowned with a wreath of thorns and crucified. Some say that darkness came over the land that afternoon as Jesus was dying on the cross, and that when he died, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
During this time of reflection and prayer, you will be invited to speak out loud the names of people you wish to lift up today. First, you will be asked to name people who are suffering. Later, I will ask for those you wish to remember who have died. And finally, for all those who inspire our love. Let us join our hearts in the spirit of prayer. O Spirit of life, we lift up our prayers for those who are suffering. The heart of the world is broken. We dwell among the broken, and we ourselves are acquainted with brokenness. May we serve as instruments of healing and peace to those who suffer, whose names we speak now, those whom we name aloud, and those whom we name in our hearts. May they be touched with healing and peace. We lift up our prayers for those who have died. Our dead dwell among us and within us. They continue to speak to us in memory and through the choices we make. Even today, remembering especially those who have gone before us from this place, we speak their names now, either aloud or in our hearts. Alden, may remembering those people who have died, may we be touched with healing and peace. Let us pray for those who inspire our love. Today, as we celebrate the signs of new life all around us, we celebrate those who are responsible for nurturing the seeds of new life in us. We rest in the radiance of the love we share with one another. We give thanks for this love, and especially for the love of those whose names we speak now, either aloud or in our hearts. Lee. May we all be touched with healing and peace. This being human asks much of us. We pray for the strength and the courage to risk allowing forgiveness and compassion to be born in us today. Grant us the wisdom to give thanks for new life. Amen.
Moses returned to Egypt to convince Pharaoh to free the Hebrews. He had no idea how he was going to do it, but he knew that God was with him. When Pharaoh refused to release the Hebrews from slavery, Moses and his brother Aaron warned him that God would punish him and his people. The Egyptians were visited by 8 plagues. First, the waters of the land of Egypt turned into blood. Then the entire land was covered with a plague of frogs. Lice came next, and still Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. Hordes of wild animals destroyed everything in their path. A fatal pestilence killed the cows and sheep, and boils burst forth upon humans and beasts. Moses announced to Pharaoh that a violent hailstorm would kill everything that was outside and not sheltered. Pharaoh started to relent and agreed to let the Jewish men go free, but Pharaoh insisted that the Jewish women and children and all their possessions remain in Egypt. Moses and Aaron could not accept this offer. With the 8th plague, swarms of locusts devoured everything green. The 9th plague was a blanket of darkness that enveloped all of Egypt except Goshen, where the Hebrew people lived. Finally, Moses told Pharaoh that every firstborn son in every Egyptian family would die. Hebrew families marked their doors so death would pass over their homes, sparing the firstborn. At last, Pharaoh was convinced that the Hebrew people had to be freed from slavery, and he allowed them to leave Egypt. The Hebrews departed Egypt in haste. But after they left, Pharaoh changed his mind. "We must follow them and bring them back," he cried, springing into his chariot and galloping away with all of his captains following. The armies of Egypt were behind them, and a great sea was in front of them. The sea held them back. But with God's help, the sea parted and the Hebrews passed through the dry land. When they got to the other side, the waters came crashing down on the Egyptians. Now the Hebrews were truly free of the Egyptians.
Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, the women had come with Jesus from Galilee. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find Jesus' body. They couldn't imagine what had happened. They were really beginning to worry that someone had stolen Jesus' body, when suddenly there were 2 angels standing beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the angel said to them, "Who do you look for living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen.